Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. We are officially on hour two with Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. If you listen often enough, we get him on once a month to answer your health and healing questions. We care deeply about your health, believe with all of our hearts that God has more quality of life for you. And this means partnering with God, partnering with healthcare experts, partnering with just even your own plan where you make the adjustments you need to make. We'll love to take your questions. 877-933-2484. So just for fun, because yesterday was Dr. Troy's birthday, so we played a birthday song. We got a little birthday gift for him. His kids are in studio with him because they're on their way to a Twins game after the show. Austin is in studio. Actually, both of his kids are, but we got a mic on Austin, which we've taken away from Dr. Troy. Hey, Austin, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so totally impressed with you that you didn't even blink in fear when I threatened to put you on the mic. You were like ready for this, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I...
As ready can be?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How old are you, gotta ask?
I am 18, turning 19 in a month.
Wow. Okay, so I want to know what it's like to grow up with Dr. Troy as your dad.
I'll be honest, it's hard. It's very hard. But not in the way that you would think. Growing up, my dad's not one to boast, but I hear stories and stuff mm-hmm. about the things he's been able to do, the people he's been able to heal. And I want to be able to tell people that and share it with them, but not being a medical professional, not being able to explain it in a way that people understand, people will treat you like you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this constant battle of wanting to be able to talk about him and express my...
Your pride in him.
My pride in mm-hmm. him and being looked at like a crazy person.
Yeah, I get that all the time. No, I'm totally kidding you. But what a way to honor your dad, because you do see that he's helping people and you see his heart and so you want to just convey that. So mm-hmm. what do you want to do? As you've watched just him steward the call of God on his life, what does that mean for you as far as, not at all comparing, but when you see somebody, especially someone you love, stewarding their call, for me, it always inspires me want to hone my craft and do the thing that God's called me to do. What do you sense as your call?
Well, I'm definitely still growing as a person, trying to figure out what exactly that is. I've been able to make a lot more progress connecting with people personally than I have been able to in, say, like a medical sense. I don't think the medical field is in my future, but I certainly enjoy being able to teach people about health and living a healthy lifestyle without a degree. Just the simple things, such as being able to recommend a healthier diet and things like that.
Well, I will tell you, you've got an amazing voice. You're super articulate, so I think you may have a future in radio. I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Because you can't really, you have a really good voice, but you really do. You carry yourself really well. So I would say get a sense of what makes your heart go pitter-patter and start going after it with God. Just saying, Lord, grow me, prepare me for this, and then open doors and see what happens. But I'm super impressed with you, and I love the way that you've just honored your dad. And I appreciate Dr. Troy. He just handed that mic over going, here we go. He didn't know what you're going to say. But thank you for just the way you honored him so well. And he's so proud of his kids. So bless you for joining us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
He's got to get on the radio, Doc. Yeah. He does. He's made for the radio. Okay. We'd love to take your calls. 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller. I've got a question for you, Doc. Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Thank you for taking my call. With a diagnosis of mild cognitive disorder, not dementia and not Alzheimer's, and this is diagnosed by a neuropsychologist. The neurologist has stated absolutely no grain nor sugar because it causes inflammation in the body and has suggested memantine, eating chain triglycerides, B12s, omega-3, multivitamins, magnesium, glycinate, and D3. What are your thoughts?
I think you're seeing someone who's really on top of it. Those are excellent. So you're bang on. They're bang on with what's happening. The only other thing I would add to that is to keep our brain alive, we really need two things. We need that proper fuel supply. If you have inflammation, that really does impact negatively how the brain operates. It's like having a little fire there all the time. And then your immune system has to be good. And the vitamin D is a big, big part of that. So the only other thing is make sure you stay mentally active. Do things that you enjoy doing, whether that be book clubs, whether that be reading, physical activity. Keep your mind may be nerves, but it's like a muscle. It needs to be activated to stay alive. So when you add that to the whole scenario of what you're doing, then that really does help with the cognitive component. But super impressed with the recommendations you've been given. You're seeing someone really, really, well, I'm biased because that's close to what I would do, but really, really good job.
Fantastic. Okay, now Cheryl wrote in and is hoping we could ask this question, and I said 504. I was wrong, but anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just forget what I just said. Okay, she says this. Our family has a friend who struggles with really bad migraines, and this is something that has been going on for a while. They got real bad during third trimester of pregnancy. After the baby came, it was good for a while, then started again. She's tried nerve blocks, Botox, and is now at the hospital trying DHE treatments. Not sure what that is. Anyway, is there anything that can be done, as nothing seems to help, and what might be the cause? I think the only other medication she's been on in the past is antidepressants.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of causes to migraines. So we don't quite have enough clues there, but there's one unusual source of migraines, and that has to do with more of a pressure internally. And so as the pregnancy develops further, there can be a pressure on the pelvic floor, and that can actually set off some migraines. However, when it happens after the fact, the most common cause of migraines is liver dysfunction, hormones, inflammation, all of that gets processed through the liver. So you have to make sure, number one, there isn't an inflammatory condition and take care of that. You have to make sure functionally the liver is doing okay and the hormones are balanced. Estrogen and progesterone need to be balanced. Cortisol and insulin need to be balanced. Physically, we see that anything from the pelvic floor strain can cause a migraine to a digestive spasm around that same ileocecal valve we were talking earlier, but digestive spasm, and sometimes even just pressure of the baby against the digestive system in the wrong space can actually trigger a migraine. Also, jaw dysfunction is very, very common for causing migraines, as along with other stress and tension headaches. So getting the jaw assessed, or TMJ, if you grind your teeth, then we know that also can be contributing. So there's some variables there. And if they've looked at cerebral spinal fluid, that would be another area, because anything that increases the pressure in the head can also cause more migraines. And during pregnancy, if we start retaining, what, there we go with the we again. Sorry, ladies. I have no experience of going through birthing like you guys have. Yeah. So, but the reality is if we keep increasing fluid in the wrong spaces, that can also do it. So not just retaining water can also be a big problem and a contributor for the actual migraines and cause blood pressure problems. And that could be either kidney, heart, again, food reaction, or sinus, or a problem with the flow somewhere, whether they need to do some pelvic floor retraining or cranial retraining.
877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Ginger's checking in from Wisconsin. She's got a question today. Hey, Ginger, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. What's your question today?
Well, so I'm just wondering, I just have such a problem with, like, bad breath, and it's, like, just really embarrassing, and I've talked to my dentist about it, and I go to the dentist all the time. They've checked everything. I've also, you know, asked the doctor about it, and they just say, well, you know, there's really, you know, nothing going on. You don't have, like, close nasal drip and all this kind of thing. And I just don't really know what to do. And I brush, I floss, I try to use different mouthwashes to see. I just don't really know what to do next.
Before Dr. Troy chimes in, let Dr. Susie take a swing at this. I once read in the People magazine, no, I'm just kidding, but I know I actually read somewhere that if you overuse mouthwash, your body won't produce, you'll have bad breath. Like, yeah. Because you're asking, you're doing something mechanically that your body wants to do for you naturally. Take it.
I've got nothing else to add to that.
Thank you so much. Just let's pause here for a moment. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you have Doc.
I did think of something.
Okay.
Well, you are definitely right on that. We need good bacteria in the mouth as well. So they now have probiotics that are, they're called ENT probiotics, where you suck on them and they actually help reestablish the good bacteria in your mouth and nasal passage. You can get a test. It's called a Marcon's test, M-A-R-C-O-N-S, and you can actually check to see if you have an imbalance with bad bacteria, and that'll be in the sinus and nasal passage. Also, there are a few hidden causes of challenges with bad breath. Helicobacter pylori is a stomach infection. SIBO is a small intestine infection. Both of those can also cause bad breath. In fact, SIBO, they measure it by checking your hydrogen and your methane, and the methane itself can become quite volatile as far as just the breath. You can actually, many people have reported that they can actually sense or smell like you finished a cigarette in non-smokers, things like that. So wow. there's a lot of variables there. Grapeseed extract is excellent for the gums and the teeth. And I will, there are dentists who will look for hidden infections, but a face thermography, thermography is what they use for early detection of inflammatory breast cancers, things like that. You can do a face thermography, and many times they'll actually be able to pick up an inflammation in and around the dental areas. And I refer to many dentists here in the cities that do functional dentistry that can actually go in and look for infection that's been missed in other ways. So even though you've got a clean bill of health with the dental component, you want to make sure that there isn't some underlying problem that's a little bit lower than just the gum level.
Thanks so much for that call. Appreciate it. 877-933-2484. So Elizabeth, Ellie, I see your calls. We've got time for your calls. I'd love to hear from you. Angela, she's written an email. I'm going to run this by that doc during the break, and we'll do as best we can to kind of give a synopsis and get you an answer as well. It is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy here on Live the Promise. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with you and with our friend Dr. Troy, who joins us every month to answer your health and healing questions. We always receive more questions than we have time to answer, but I want you to know we're doing our absolute best to get everybody's question in. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got Ellie checking in from Wisconsin. Hey, Ellie, thanks for holding. You're on with Dr. Troy.
Oh, yes.
Hey.
I have a question in that I have restless legs, and I have tried several medications, the carbidopa/levodopa and gabapentin, the NephroPatch, and I just still struggle with the restless legs, and they're especially bothersome when I'm on dialysis, and of course I can't move. I wonder if you would have any suggestions, Dr. Troy.
Yes, it will be. If you're on dialysis, it's going to be very challenging at this point for restless legs, just in general. There are many things that actually contribute to restless legs, but we do see some basics like iron deficiency or just low iron, low B12 as a problem. There are sleep disorders that a lot of people don't know that they have. And a lot of times when you go for a sleep study, people say, well, I went for a sleep study. I want you to really take note that in the sleep studies, they're really looking for sleep apnea because they want to see if you qualify for a CPAP because that's what they have to fix the scenario. But the number of arousals and the number of movements that you have in the night are very, very much indicative of a potential sleep disorder. And Stanford University, which is really leading the way in the country as far as assessment of sleep disorders, they've classified 100 different sleep disorders. And most people know about insomnia and sleep apnea. But there's REM sleep disorders. There's all kinds of other sleep disorders. And that becomes very, very important. However, if dialysis is already in the conversation, then that really makes it challenging because a lot of we need a lot of the full function to fix the sleep disorders, full function of the kidneys and your ability to get the fluid moving out of your body. So the challenge here becomes that if you retain too much fluid, that can actually trigger a restless leg. If you get rid of some of the fluid and become electrolyte deficient, that can cause restless leg. So it becomes a big, big challenge. Balancing your blood sugar, looking for a sleep disorder. Sometimes if that hasn't been checked out and your B12 hasn't been checked out or your hemoglobin, not just your iron, but your hemoglobin and your ferritin, those all need to be looked at. And if they're in optimal range, then there would be more specific, we'd have to assess things a little bit more specifically. But those are areas I would check and just look at, even yourself, looking at the quality of your sleep as far as do you talk in your sleep? Do you remember your dreams? Do you wake up choking and have like an adrenaline rush? All of these different things that may be an indication that the sleep is not quite there are very, very important. Then there's also hormones and some heavy metal scenarios that can contribute to the restless leg as well. But it's a challenging one, especially with the with the kidney challenges that you're already undergoing.
Thanks for that one. 877-933-2484. We've got Elizabeth checking in from Minneapolis. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Well, hello. Good afternoon. It's such a joy, honestly, to hear your voice. And Dr. Troy, I am so excited about what you are doing. And my question is, I have been suffering for the last 4 months on and off with what it could be called dizziness or vertigo. It's when I am lying in bed and through the night I cannot move because I feel like everything is moving. And then during the morning when I get up, it's even worse right there in getting up. I have to keep my eyes fixed on something and then gently hold on through the walls or whatever to go around. And it lasts for approximately 4 hours. I also seems like there is a connection with my eyes because they are very blurry at that time too. And things move either up and down or sideways. And I think it's my right ear. I would like to know what that is happening and the cause of it. And also, are you taking new patients? Thank you, Dr. Frost.
Yeah, you bet. There are a few causes to vertigo. Vertigo is something that, in the absence of something pathological, can be very, very much affected or treated, sorry. And so there are multiple ways to look at this. There's a maneuver called the Epley maneuver where they put your head in certain positions, and it's really to move these crystals that are stuck in this vestibular, in this apparatus in the inner ear. And sometimes there's fluid involved there. If you know it's definitively the right ear, then we're looking at most likely some type of fluid problem, or it can be the nerves that sense your head position. And so doing certain exercises, there are functional neurologists that will look and give you a vestibular program. There are digestive scenarios that can trigger this, digestive spasms that can trigger a vertigo. And so it can become very, very tricky to find and identify, but easy to fix. Vertigo is one of those ones where we really have a lot of success as far as helping once we identify what it is. When you can't identify what it is, that's when it can get a little bit harder. The clinic is definitely accepting patients. Vertigo is one of those things where we are batting 1,000 with that one. So that one is right up our alley, so to speak. But finding someone, anyone who does vestibular rehab or vestibular exercises or knows the Epley maneuver or can identify other causes other than the crystals. Crystals are only 10% of vertigo. So always thinks that that's the first thing, but it's not the most common cause of vertigo. So we see many other things causing the 90%. Sometimes it's a jaw problem or a sinus that's not allowing proper drainage on that right side. that will impact that. And if you have tension in the right side of the neck and spasm to the right of the belly button, then you can actually massage that area in the digestive tract and see if that helps your vertigo decrease in the morning. If it does, it means that there is a what's called a viscerosomatic reflex going on, or a reflex from your intestinal tract to the head, and the intestinal tract was the root cause, and then you just have to fix the head stuff. So vertigo is one of those ones that if it doesn't go away on its own, you should have a professional address it.
Thanks so much for that. So we are really coming up close to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to grab Kathy's question, and Dr. Troy, we may need to, you know, pick it up on the other side, but let's see if we can get this question in. Hey, Kathy, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I've had 4 sinus infections since December, and I've gone on prednisone and antibiotics, Mucinex, nasal spray. And this 4th time around, the medicine is not helping. In the previous ones, by the 2nd, 3rd day, everything went away practically. It was really nice. I have a deviated septum and a small polyp, and the ENT said I should probably get surgery. And I don't know if this will make my headaches go away and all the other side effects that come from sinus problems.
Hmm. So sorry about that, Kathy. That gets old fast. What do you say, Doc?
Yeah, that's not much fun at all. With a deviated septum, that makes you more susceptible to certain scenarios. And so my general rule of thumb is to do as much as you can before surgery, but the sinus surgeries are fairly routine, and they do such a good job with that it will help with one. It'll help very much with limiting the potential for future infections. And however, sometimes if they go in and clean things up, if the root cause is not addressed, then that also is something to look at. So food reactions, especially dairy reactions, can cause significant amount of mucus production in the sinuses, which makes you actually more susceptible to getting infections. The other thing is to check for Marcon's. That's the nasal. It's an antibiotic-resistant infection in the sinus and nasal area, and that'll help identify what antibiotic you should be on, because there may be antibiotic-resistant bacteria that has formed there. So what you want to do is just clean up the area as much as possible. Cranial sacral therapy will help in balancing it physically, pulling all of the foods that you might be reacting to in the intestinal tract will help as well. And then treating an infection, and if that doesn't quite do it, surgery, and then you kind of repeat everything we just said to make sure that puts you in the best possible scenario for full recovery.
Don't give up hope, and thank you so much for your call. We've got another 2 segments left with Dr. Troy, and then he's off to the ball game. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. I'm not the only one dancing in the studio today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Every single month, we have our friend Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing in the studio to take your questions. And we love to do this just to encourage you to even maybe take next steps. Now, we're not always able to get to every single question, but we sure do our best. 877-933-2484. We'll take Deb from Hutchinson. But real quick, I want to answer Deb, who wrote in and said, one of your programs, Dr. Troy, mentioned drinking a type of brand of coffee that's healthier for you. Could you tell me what that coffee is called? I'll take this one.
Yeah, Dr. Susie's got this.
I got this one. I don't even need anybody's help, but I can't really tell you why it's healthy. So Organo, I think that's the name of it, right?
Yeah, it's a different option, yes. It's got less caffeine and it's more alkaline. So
it's not acidy.
So it's not, acidy. And so generally speaking, good organic dark roast coffee is actually healthy for us. Mm-hmm. It can help with brain vitality. Especially when in balance. Mm-hmm. However, there are other options out there. So it's not like I choose one or the other,
right. But
I want a clean coffee. And this one happens to have mushroom extract that helps with our immune system. So it's a little bit more It's more alkaline. It's got a lot less caffeine, but it gives you kind of that lift in a different way, and it supports your immune system,
so
which
like
I love.
About a third of a cup of coffee caffeine normally, Brad, I think.
Yes, something and a like lot that? Of yeah, my, a lot of people I pull off of coffee can actually do well with it. So
yeah.
I like having that. I mean, you should see how people look at you when you pull them off of coffee.
I know.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Not good.
No.
Yeah. And there's the thing. When you're taking any kind of clean, healthy supplements, keep telling yourself this is an accumulative process over time. All these right choices do add up. And I want to give Dr. Troy some time toward the end of the show to just kind of tie up this whole idea of good habits, bad habits, and what drives us. All right, we've got Deb checking in from Hutchinson with a question. Hey, Deb, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm a little nervous.
That's all right.
Taking my call. I've suffered for a long time. I'm 62, and years ago I started to have problems with my teeth, and I have many metal fillings in my mouth. I have three left now, and I started having some heart problems about 10, 12 years ago. High blood pressure. I'm taking metoprolol and lisinopril every day to maintain that. Teeth have been rotting and falling out. I've been, you know, on like medical assistance and not had a ability to get a lot of it taken care of. And I have questioned my dentist that possibly I was having mercury poisoning because slowly over the years I've had more and more problems. I now have a tumor where a wisdom tooth would be.
Wow.
And she said that no, that would not be from metal fillings because they don't do that anymore. I said, well, my fillings are from way back, you know. I've suffered from, I now have numbness and I have restless leg syndrome. I'm dealing with anemia.
Hmm.
I'm not absorbing iron. I've been on iron for 6 months and my hemoglobin's gone up a little and my size of my red blood cells has increased, but the iron has gone down.
I'm going to have Dr. Troy jump in.
Arthritis.
Okay, we're going to pause here. I think he's got quite a bit of information.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. And generally speaking, your iron will not go up because of it's feeding something, basically. So there's some investigating that has to be done there. There's inflammation or some level of tumor, whether it's benign or not. You want to make sure that gets investigated. As far as the link between mercury and tumors, we can't say that for certain, but we can say that there's a direct link between mercury and heart disease. And so they will actually, in fact, for heart disease, a diagnosed heart condition is the only time that insurance will cover chelation therapy. So chelation therapy helps pull the mercury out, and mercury can become quite damaging to many of our cells, and not just the heart cells, but our nerves too. So getting the teeth correct is very, very important. And it starts to affect the brain as well eventually. In fact, there's a little story I'm going to tell the where it all came from. The phrase Mad Hatter, mad as a hatter, came from the fact that the hatters back in the day when they used to wear these big hats used to have to stiffen them. And that's what their job was, to get these hats really stiff. Well, they used a chemical that was loaded with mercury. And the mercury vapors and fumes would actually be inhaled by these hatters all day long, and they would eventually start to develop neurologic conditions.
Whoa.
And it became mad as a hatter. So mercury is very, very detrimental to both brain function and our sensitive tissues like our heart. And so although many dentists don't use them today, you're right. If it's in there, there could be a challenge. So that has to be assessed. Doing an actual chelated urine sample will help, using DMSA, finding someone who can do that for you to assess what are your current mercury levels will help quite a bit. If you're in the MA system, you're going to want to try and find someone who does that so that there isn't a big bill at the end of it for you to cause other stress. So there's a lot going on there, but assessing the mercury and working on that will be one of the many things that can be taken care of and should be taken care of.
Mm. Thanks so much for your call. May God lead you in the way you should go, and I pray you get completely restored and recovered. Christy's checking in from Frazee, Minnesota. Hey, Christy, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey. What you got for us today?
Well, the reason I'm calling is I'm calling about my mother. She is 83 years old and has a real balance issue. She generally has to hold on to someone. She has a cane, but even with that, sometimes she all of a sudden will take a step way off to the left. Or, you know, if you're walking with her or watching her in a hallway or on a sidewalk, she covers from left to right when she's walking. She's had it for quite a few years, but it keeps getting worse. She went to medical doctors, and they said there could be some inner ear damage from when she was younger. But other than that, she hasn't been able to get any answers.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do there. If it is coming from inner ear or from an area of the brain called the cerebellum, then that can have her kind of fall to the left. If people close their eyes and they can stay straight while their eyes are closed and not fall one direction or the other, then that area of the brain's generally doing pretty well. But people who close their eyes, if they start to get kind of dizzy and wave and kind of go all over the place, that area of the brain's been compromised. So generally speaking, you want to get it assessed, again, by a functional neurologist who can look at and give exercises to help stimulate that area of the brain. If they fall to the left, that's always or almost always indicative of a left cerebellum challenge, not always. So there's different things you can do to stimulate the left cerebellum. We actually give eye exercises up to left, down to the right. We do left hand squeeze. If someone has a problem or challenge falling to the left and then they squeeze their hand over and over and over and their balance improves, that's a sign that that area of the brain just needs to be stimulated a little bit more.
Wow.
So I don't necessarily recommend her doing that at home by herself or anything, but if she wanted to do that and you have people around her to make sure she doesn't fall, that's something you can do to check it. But a functional neurologist will actually assess if that is the area of the brain and then what exercises may help exercise that area of the brain. Almost always we can find something. At 83, it becomes less limited because the nerves are a little weaker. But there can be simple exercises she can do to regain her balance if it is coming from that area of the brain.
Thank you for that. We're going to start to limit the calls. I think maybe if one or two maybe comes in, that would be about it, because I want to give Dr. Troy some time to just unpack the message that he came in with. I feel like it's important for all of us today. One more email question from Renee. She says, I developed tightness around my rib cage a couple months ago. Blood panel okay, endoscopy okay. Have GERD, G-E-R-D, and take Prilosec. Can't even wear my normal bras due to discomfort. Now sweating under the breast and along with itching rash under there as well. What do you say?
Well, again, there could be many causes to this. So this one's a little hard without doing a physical evaluation. But a lot of times we see a torquing of the pelvis where the pelvis will rotate one way because our core gets a little weak. And when the core can get a little weak, the pelvis will rotate one way. The upper back rotates the other way, and we feel it as tightness in the chest. Then what happens is we start to get fluid retention in our core, and we can start to see challenges that way that she's describing. So that's the most common physical problem. If a lot of the severe stuff with the heart and everything's been ruled out, the other key that she gave us there is the acid reflux component to this. The diaphragm actually can get caught up with the stomach.
Oh,
and you can get
right.
A functional hiatal hernia, and that can cause all kinds of distress. And so it can be as simple as pulling the stomach down off of the diaphragm and getting that hiatal adjusted. And that can minimize all of the discomfort there, because all the muscles, if that hiatal's been there for a while, taking the Prilosec will help with the reflux side of it, but doesn't change the root cause, which is the stomach caught on the diaphragm. And the muscles all around that segmented area will slowly tighten, slowly tighten, slowly tighten. And the thing about the diaphragm is when it is compromised, it mimics a heart attack. It mimics the chest heaviness. And we can get into these fight or flight, or think of it like when you can't breathe, you almost get panicky. And so it can start to create that type of scenario. So with physical assessment, we can tell what it is. Those are the two most common causes. We're also looking at potential lymphatic challenges that might be setting that up. And sometimes weight gain and hormone components are there as well. So there are other variables, but the first two kind of strike me as the most common ones I see when someone presents like that.
Yeah, I remember you talked about this hiatal thing a few months ago, and really there's times where that could scare you. The symptoms could scare you, and yet it's an easy fix. I mean, you
super
get in there
easy.
And you just give it a little pop.
Yep.
And
Yep. Bam. Sometimes we just reset it once, pull it down, and it's mm-hmm. good. Sometimes it's a couple times, and you have to work on the underlying causes of stress or digestive dysfunction. But most times, it's very, very quick.
So one last question before we take our last break, because I want to give you that last segment just to take some time to just chat. I think we have some really good content that applies to every single person listening. But a listener called in and asked about the sprays, diet sprays, basically, that kind of stop your appetite or hinder your appetite. And you had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't really use the sprays all that much, so I can't comment too much on that. But there are other ways to help with the appetite suppression. Now, amazingly enough, so many of us are walking around with these low-grade intestinal infections. We've heard people call in today with SIBO. That's one of them. Or bacterial imbalance, parasites, all these little challenges in our digestive system. When you clean those up, a lot of times that actually will decrease your appetite. Mm. The other thing is hormones can also really impact your appetite. And a lot of hormones and neurotransmitters, the brain chemicals, they require protein. So protein, for those that are deficient, will reduce the appetite as well. And I do know the sprays, a lot of times they'll use amino acids in them as well. And that's kind of the path they're going for. Fiber, if tolerated, is a natural appetite suppressant just because it makes you feel fuller right mm-hmm. away. And then there's just a few other things as far as physical exercise actually decreases your appetite.
Go figure. Burning up that fat.
Yeah.
And I would think that some of these extreme dietary pills that you could buy over the counter to lose weight, that they seem scary to me because they could start to mess with your neurological system, right?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. My thing, and Austin actually touched on this earlier, is lifestyle. It's all about, there are things you have to do in the beginning to get you back on track. But the goal is to get to a point where you can say, I can live this way for the rest of my life and be okay with it. Hmm. That's what you want.
Yeah. God wants you healthy. And I'm telling you, he wants you to partner with him in this. There are adjustments we can make, changes we can make to our diet. That's why we have Dr. Troy on every month, because there are next steps that each and every one of us can take. When we come back, we're going to hear more about how a good habit can become a bad habit, how we live a sustainable, fruitful, healthy life. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a really great conversation with Dr. Troy. Health and healing with Dr. Troy is what we call it every single month. Been taking your calls, but we're going to pause from the calls now because God's really put something on Dr. Troy's heart that I think really applies to all of us. So why don't you just kind of reset where you started from the beginning and take it from there.
Yeah, it's. I've just been seeing a lot of people coming in, and these are just amazingly sweet people that are getting beat up by life a little bit, and we can see a really big turnaround where they start to recognize why it's happening. And a lot of times when we think of, I have to change who I am, then it becomes this battle with judgment of self and with all these other scenarios that it's like friction. And that's not the way it is. It's not changing who you are. It's basically tweaking what you're actually good at. Hmm. And biblically, we see that all the time. So I've got a couple areas here. I'm going to go through what I see in the room, and then I'm going to read from Scripture to kind of show you what I'm seeing and how it manifests, and really how brilliant it is. Because when you, I don't wish I could see through God's eyes, but you know, it's that thing where you start to see these glimpses of how it all works together, mm-hmm. and what used to look like opposites are really the same thing. And that's what I see. So I'm going to use two examples of what I really am seeing with these people that are suffering, and the instantaneous changes that occur once they kind of have that aha moment. And I want people to kind of just sit back and see if this is them or someone else that they know, because you can apply it right away. Now, the first scenario is one I touched on earlier, where people are, they just want to help people. They have a servant's heart. They want, you know, they know Christ. They like Christ. They want to be like Christ, and they're servant leaders, but they're sick and they're going through stuff. And understanding that process is very, very important. And if you can, if you overcommit, you can really start to become self-sacrificing. Or if you're trying to be in service to someone and it's not truly serving them, you can be enabling. And so our good habits can become bad habits when they're overdone or misplaced without discernment.
And if I can just throw in too, God doesn't give you the grace to do the things he's not asked you to do. And so if you're talking about empowering grace, it is for his call. There's enough time in the day to do the things he's called you to do.
That's exactly right. And so that's where we can get off track. Our mm-hmm. good habits that served us in service in one area cannot serve us in other areas. And that's when we start to see consequences to that. And when you clean that up, all of a sudden that friction that's no longer there doesn't affect the body physically, and we see the natural healing start to take over. Another example we see is we've talked about this a little bit before in the past, but a good habit of just being a nurturer, just being a loving mother or father and nurturing, and that itself is something that's very much needed and can become a good have different habits throughout the day. But if you don't at some point surrender, you can nurture excessively, which eventually becomes controlling. And then you try and control your environment too mm-hmm. much, and you take on everyone else's stress. You wish you could think for them. You wish you could make choices for them because you're trying to control their environment. It comes from a good place. And especially women, they're born natural nurturers, a little more so than men. And they'll just, when they're a baby, it's easy. Because naturally, you just protect their environment, you swallow them, you hug them. But as you grow, and as they grow, you have to let them fall down. Again, that's that pain with a purpose. You have to let them figure things out on their own. Otherwise, it's not truly serving them. And so surrendering is very much a part of that process so that you don't become controlling, even not in a controlling way like it's mean. These are nice people that are worried about their kids.
And thinking the answer then is to control. If I could just control, it would be okay. But that would hinder their development and yours, because the surrender is part of the growth process, right, for both people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I'm going to read a little bit here. This is from Romans, and Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And what strikes me is that word acceptable. What does that mean? What does that look like? When we look at our body as a temple, and how we're supposed to treat it, all of a sudden that word means a lot more. Because when you're being self-sacrificing, but your body's falling apart, that's not what God wants.
Amen.
Do all to the glory of God. And that includes taking care of yourself, using discernment. I'm going to go into 1 Corinthians here as well. And this is everything for me, because the theme of this, of the whole book, Paul just nails it when he's trying to help them through troubled times, because things back then were not good in that city. And there was a lot of problems and challenges. And so it's not too far off from what we see today in a lot of places. And it's really the whole Corinthians is a theme on developing the character of just who you are in God's name, and that's what we're doing. We're striving to be righteous, knowing we fall short, and just having that gratitude for his grace is so important. And this explains it quite well when it comes to the health side of it. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1-3, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, we have not love. I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And so we can't lose ourselves in the process. If you self-sacrifice and have resentment, then the love is not there. And so he's saying it's important to use your gifts, but know when to stop using them mm-hmm. for that purpose, just like you said earlier. And discernment's a big part of that. And I cannot tell you how many people have beautiful intentions, beautiful hearts, and their own thoughts and choices are actually wreaking havoc for their health. So as we start to deteriorate, we get signs. And it's not changing who you are. It's just looking at how...
Changing how you are.
It's how you are and where you're placing your gifts and who you're speaking into and who you're actually saying no. One of the best words, healing words, is the word no. At the right time, in the right moment, say no. And that helps so much.
Boy, that's so good. When you think about, you know, God's will for that person that you're nurturing and caring so much about, his will for them won't contradict his will for you. And so if he's asking you to set some limits, it doesn't mean he's going to abandon them or they're going to go unhelped. You have to think, am I a believer? Do I believe this stuff? Is God big enough to take care of them and me? And I would imagine, Dr. Troy, as you see people who found themselves now so extended because they've extended beyond maybe what even God's asked, they even have to stop and pull back and even not help the people they're probably supposed to help. But that's what happens when you go too far, is you got to pull way back.
100%. And we really should be God-pleasing, not people-pleasing. Mm-hmm. And people-pleasing starts with being that supportive person. So the origin is usually a good origin, and we can justify it for a lifetime and be wrong.
Yeah. Wow. So we've got just a couple minutes left here. I want you to say a word, if you would, to that person listening today who's like, you've got me right here. I mean, the physical symptoms are there. I've said yes to too many things. What are my next steps?
Well, the next steps is, number one, pray. And really, really talk to God. And anytime you're talking to someone and you're truly interested, it's important to ask the questions and then stop and listen. You really have to be connected. So reconnect and then look at how you set up your boundaries. And what we find is people have fears, and it's the fears that are driving this. For example, the fear of saying no to someone usually is there because you don't want to let them down. I have a fear of letting people down, but you don't really know that. If you get a little worked up by, or a little anxious by thinking in your head, I'm going to say no to this. Oh, but then they may not like me.
Hmm.
Well, it's important to please God. Will God like me in this scenario? If the answer is yes, then you've got permission.
Hmm.
And so it's very important to start setting those boundaries. I would tell people, look for an opportunity to say no. You can say it in a nice Minnesota Christian way. That's okay. Say no. Look for that opportunity. And then really look at the fallout from that, the good and the bad. Are they still friends?
Yeah.
Are they still there? And you know what? If they're not there, if they don't give you that grace, then that's feedback. And so there might be a one-way relationship going on there that's truly not serving you.
Better to look at it now than later.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Dr. Troy, for this time. And Father, I just thank you for this time. And I thank you for Dr. Troy and Christine's family. I pray blessing on all of them and all they do and on their practice. I just pray you continue to use them in ways that are mind-boggling and just life-shaping. We love you, Lord. And help us to give a right yes and a right no, Lord. Help us to be about your business and not to be afraid of man's opinion. We love you. We give ourselves to you now in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Just off of that conversation, if you email me, I'm going to draw three names. I'll send three copies, one to three of you, about my book, Your Sacred Yes. It's exactly about that. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Your Sacred Yes in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. I'll draw three names. We'll get three copies out to you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you want to take a shot, email me if you've got a Dr. Troy question. We'll add it to next month's notes. And we'll just do our best, try to get all these questions answered. Remember this too, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.